America, there's a rule against alcoholic beverages. Infraternities on probation.
Say, how about joining me and my friend over there? Come on, join us in a beer, okay?
Get me another beer, Dragon Lady.
It was the greatest beer in all the world.
Just drink the fucking beer, and you'll get the hang of it.
Listen, they want us to pay for the beer we drink. You guys better split.
Well, I thought you'd just buy me a beer.
Hey, you want some help with that beer, kid?
I have respect for beer.
Save one of those beers for me, eh?
You want some of this milk?
Rather have a beer.
You want a beer, pal?
What do you drink?
We got this non-alcoholic shit.
What's that?
Like a non-alcoholic beer. It's got no alcohol.
It's a beer?
Yeah, with no alcohol.
But you drink enough, and if you drink a lot, they get you fucked up?
No, there's no alcohol. That's the fucking point.
Can't imagine ever not enjoying getting fucked up.
Yeah.
I love it. Rather being sober.
Fuck, it sucks. And just like the movies, we play out on the last scene. You won't cry, I won't scream.
Hey everybody, this is Dustin.
And this is Seth.
And we are drunk at the movies. Brought to you by Bearded Owl Brewing in Peoria, Illinois. This episode is going to be a fun one.
Oh, yeah.
I do believe. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. It's Blackout Wednesday. And I don't know about you, but I don't blackout.
No. Right.
Instead, I like to watch movies and drink beer.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to do today.
We're just going to hang out and play a board game while you're at it, if you want to, because it would be very appropriate for today's movie.
It would be very appropriate because we are watching Clue from 1985. This is the first movie based on a board game with an all-star comedic cast. It is a veritable cavalcade of a who's who of 1980s comedy, I would say, in some ways.
I would agree.
It's a delight. I had not seen this movie probably since I was a teenager, and rewatching it last week, I was like, oh man, I remember all of this. I watched it a lot, and it was a very fun one to revisit. So we hope you guys will do the same. So we encourage you, dig out your DVD copy of Clue or track one down. Find some way to watch along with us. Or if not, just listen to us talk about it. And
or
hopefully
break out the board game. And
yeah.
Play the board game while you listen and watch the movie. You have a true Clue experience.
Yeah, who is your go-to character piece?
I always went between Mr. Green and Professor Plum.
I was kind of the same way.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. So we are kindred spirits in the game of Clue. I played it a lot as a child, and we're actually going to be going to family dinner at my parents a couple streets over.
Don't take a pipe wrench.
No, I'm not going to.
A wrench or a pipe.
Downstairs is my old board game collection, and I was thinking about digging out my copy of Clue and bringing it over for us to introduce to Jackson.
Nice.
Because there's a new version of Clue out. There's a new character. They've eliminated one of the classics.
And we'll get plenty into that for sure.
It's not my Clue.
Yeah, it's not the Clue I grew up with.
Yeah.
So, and I have a theory on that as to why they did it that way and like rebranded it for marketing reasons. But again, we can talk about
that later.
The movie.
All right, so we have a new beer to drink from our sponsor, Bearded Owl Brewing. Our beer this week is Peachful Easy Feeling.
Jesus, man. Can you change the channel?
Fuck you, man. If you like my fucking music, get your own fucking cab.
I had a really rough...
I'll pull up to the side and kick your ass out.
Man, come on. I had a rough night, and I hate the fucking Eagles, man.
The dude would not approve of this song.
man, he just hates the fucking Eagles reference.
Yeah. So this is a fruited sour. It's 4.7%, and it says this kettle sour is a collaboration with Thrushwood Farms in Galesburg. It's conditioned on top of peaches with just enough cinnamon, nutmeg, and allspice for that fall time peach pie flavor. Make sure to grab an accompanying snack stick from Thrushwood Farms, which I have one of, and it is toasted cinnamon flavored meat stick. Now,
stop calling me meat stick.
Seth is vegetarian.
I am.
So he is not partaking in the meat stick, which means, hey, more meat for me. Man, I can't even tell you how many times I've said that phrase. But yeah, it's fun that you get a snack with it. But I love collaborations with other local businesses,
yeah,
or regional businesses. And I was pretty excited to try this one. When I was at Bearded Owl last, getting this growler fill, I did not try this beer because I wanted to save it for the show. But this, it's like a peach pie, which Thanksgiving, there's tons of pies around. You will probably have some peach pie tomorrow. And also,
you're watching Clue, you right, might as well try to get a color mentioned within
exactly,
the movie.
There's no Miss Peach. Princess Peach, I think of Super Mario Brothers, but yeah.
They're going to take a bite of peach from Blue Velvet.
Yeah, but there's plum, there's green, white, scarlet, and peacock. That's not really a color, though, is it?
Yeah, that's not a color.
That's
either,
where they kind of fucked up.
And I have to go back. I said Blue Velvet. I meant Wild at Heart.
You done fucked up now!
I don't know why I mixed up my Lynch movies.
Well, you know. There's probably a dancing midget in there somewhere.
Probably.
All right. So, while we enjoy our peachful, easy feeling, and I enjoy my meat stick, that's not a euphemism, folks. We're going to get our DVD of Clue ready to go, but we're going to play our opening credits song. And you know how I do. I try to tie the music into the movie as much as possible. And our first song comes from Cooper Clare, and it is called Miss Scarlet. Now, I have played this song so many times over the past couple weeks since I found it. I really, really dig this song. And Cooper Clare is the moniker and musical calling card for multi-instrumentalist producer and songwriter David Cooper Clare. Cooper Clare's home recording, The World West, was his debut full-length album as a singer-songwriter, as well as the literal autobiographical timeline from 2012 to 2017, a chronology involving 2 years of initial descent into psychosis, a period of delusion and hallucinations followed by multiple psychotic breaks, several hospitalizations and a diagnosis of paranoid schizophrenia, then extremely debilitating treatment with heavy-handed antipsychotics and a considerable loss of cognitive functioning, thereby quitting music performance altogether before, fortunately, an eventual return to mental health through both therapy and precisely adjusted psychotropic care. David worked extensively as a sideman, drummer, and musical mercenary in Michigan and Texas and recorded with a lot of different people. I do want to note, David actually passed recently, maybe a month or two ago as of recording. So we're wanting to kind of raise our glass in tribute to the music that David left behind. From the description, you can tell David didn't necessarily live an easy life, and mental health is no laughing matter at all. So we support David, and we send our condolences to his friends and family and fans alike, and we want everybody to get help that they need. Nobody should go through things like that alone. There is always somebody out there willing to listen. So by all means, get help. So yeah, we raise our glass to you, David, and we hope you guys enjoy this song, Miss Scarlet, here on Drunk at the Movies. All right, so that was Cooper Clare with Miss Scarlet. I actually found Cooper Clare's music because they did a song called Nurse St. Cloud, which is a character in Ernest Goes to Camp.
Right.
And I'm always looking for music to play on the Ernest podcast, as well as looking for music here. And it just so happened I was typing in like Professor Plum, Mr. Green, and, you know, looking for music about all these different characters. And Miss Scarlet came up and it said Cooper Clare. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I listened to it and I'm like, I fucking love this song. So, yeah, that's why I wanted to feature it on this show. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. And hopefully by now you got your Clue DVD in the player ready to go, because we're going to hit play in 3, 2, 1. And then it takes you to another screen.
So, pardon the countdown.
Yeah, pardon the countdown. So, this movie was really interesting. It had three different endings.
It was
in the theater.
Great marketing idea.
Totally.
It didn't work. Did you see it in the theater?
No, it was 1985, so I was 4.
I remember seeing it in the theater.
Really?
I loved this movie since I was a kid, and I don't remember exactly which ending it was, but yeah, they had three different endings that they shot.
Yeah, you could go to different theaters and see a totally different ending.
Yeah.
And again, this was kind of a box office flop, so it didn't necessarily work in the way they intended, but it became a cult classic on home video and cable TV. We are selecting the version to the right that says view the home video version of the movie with all three endings.
Yes.
This is the version I grew up watching, and we're going to hit play in 3, 2, 1. And then it takes us to another. No, I'm just kidding. Do you want to see the endings first or at the end of the movie?
No, I feel like I'm watching Raiders of the Lost Ark right off the bat.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to dissolve to some kind of hill for an Indiana Jones movie.
But yeah, I agree. This is a super progressive move.
Yeah.
Doing a choose-your-own-adventure, almost, ending for a movie.
And I believe it wasn't one of those, like, studio marketing ploys. I believe this was the writer-director Jonathan Lynch.
Yes, I believe so.
He, speaking of Lynch movies, different one, of course.
Right.
But I think this was his idea, is he just wanted to be as much like the board game as possible, because that's what he wanted.
It's different every time you play. So we've got Madeline Kahn, Christopher Lloyd, Tim Curry,
Eileen Brennan,
Michael McKean,
one of my favorites. Spinal Tap, recently from Better Call Saul.
And Martin Mull. You know him from Fernwood Tonight if you listen to the Ernest Show. Leslie Ann Warren,
who was cast later in the
production. We'll get into that. Colleen Camp, you'll see a lot of her.
And
Lee Ving.
And you might recognize her from other movies and might be surprised to find out who she's played in other movies.
I know the one you're referring to, but
there are a couple I can think of.
Lee Ving, of course, the singer for the punk band Fear. I actually just saw them in Chicago a couple months ago at Riot Fest. They did the whole Have a Beer with Fear album. He didn't mention Clue at all during the set. He didn't sing anything about being Mr. Body. So this movie takes place in the 50s. You can tell that because of the vehicles, but there's other signs of what's going on. But this is Wadsworth. We don't know his name yet, but it is the star of the show, Tim Curry.
And this already has a murder by death kind of murder mystery comedy feel to it right out of the gate.
The 80s had a lot of these kind of movies.
Yeah.
You don't really see them much anymore, but like these murder mysteries are like they took place in a scary mansion. I'm trying to think of like Haunted Honeymoon.
Yeah, great Gene Wilder film.
There's Nothing But Trouble. That was kind of a flop.
Not a great film.
No.
Not nearly as good.
That actually could be a future episode.
And Jonathan Landis.
John Landis, helped write it.
Co-wrote the story, which, you know, he's one of my favorite filmmakers.
Do you know who almost helped write the script?
I feel like I used to know, but forgot.
Norman Bates himself.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Anthony Perkins was recruited to help punch up the script. I didn't even know he was much of a screenwriter.
Yeah.
But his name was mentioned, but the fee that he was going to require was more than what they were willing to pay.
Okay.
But yeah, he was going to help with the writing process. I don't know if they thought maybe like murder
Yeah, I just thought maybe he'd have, there'd be a fun connection for an audience.
But yeah, that ties into a past episode. And Jonathan Lynn later went on to do My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
Which featured Joe Pesci, and yeah. we referenced last week.
And is another excellent comedy. My Cousin Vinny is, Jonathan Lynn is a great comedy director.
So here's the first nod to a reoccurring gag here. He tied up the German shepherds and stepped in something. So he lifted his shoe.
We get a nice, silly little sight gag before there's any indication what the plot is or any dialogue at all.
Now, I guess this actual mansion burned. The one that they use for exterior shots or whatever.
I think it was the same mansion that was used in Private Eyes with
they're watching
Tim Conway.
You. They see your every move. New England, 1954. That's where we're at. And I'm already distracted by Yvette.
Man, movies do that to us pretty quickly.
Well,
in the first couple of scenes.
I've had a couple beers and ready. So
you have your instructions.
Yeah,
not even sure what the indication was, but I loved it.
You know, and she smells something.
She smells Wadsworth's shoes,
and then she checks herself before she wrecks herself. So Colleen Camp was not the first pick, I guess, for Yvette.
Who was the first?
That's
Yvette
a great
pick?
Question. That
and Colleen Camp, while Dustin's looking that up, if you don't recognize her yet, you may have seen her in Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Oh, that's not the one I was going to reference.
What were you thinking?
Wayne's World. She plays Noah Vanderhoff's wife.
Oh, that makes absolutely, yeah, I can totally
because,
see that.
Because one of the guys is like, your wife's a babe.
Yeah.
And it's like, he grew up watching Clue.
Well, she's the lady cop in Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Okay. So apparently, again, purely speculation, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Demi Moore, and Madonna were considered for the role of buxom French maid Yvette. Eager to earn the part, Colleen Camp went to her audition in a French maid outfit.
That's how you do it.
And director Jonathan Lynn admitted that although he was impressed with Camp's comedic acting skills, it was her well-endowed figure that ultimately convinced him. Quote, there was no avoiding it. So she knew what she was working with, and she showed that she was perfect for the role. And we are introduced to Martin Mull as Colonel Mustard.
And then we're introduced to the beautiful, the late, great Madeline Kahn.
Only that you are to be known as Mrs. White.
Yes, it said so in the letter.
So they all got these letters, and they all have to go by aliases for some reason. And now she smells it. Madeline
Kahn,
her physical comedy is so good.
Her facial expressions, physical comedy, her delivery, everything about her is pretty much incredible.
It's Lily von Stupp.
Yes.
We have done Blazing Saddles on this show before.
I watched Young Frankenstein twice last week for Halloween.
Yeah, we've had requests to do that episode from friend Kevin McCammon. It most absolutely will get done eventually.
It will.
It's just a matter of when. And there is Miss Scarlet. Leslie Ann Warren, stranded on the side of the road. And again, we mentioned she was not the original first choice. Do you want to enlighten the listeners as to... And God damn, I wish that would have happened, but...
Who? Because I remember this, but I can't remember.
Oh, you
who.
Really don't know? Okay.
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher.
Yep, that's right. I did remember. Yeah, knowing that.
And, I mean, I love Princess Leia, but Carrie Fisher, in this time period, in that role... Good God, I don't know if I'd have been able to handle it. Like, because this is like 2 years after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
So she's still like that Carrie Fisher. And if anybody who's seen this movie knows, Miss Scarlet, aside from Yvette, just oozes sexuality.
Right.
That,
She even has a rather sexual career.
Yes, yes. So knowing that Carrie Fisher almost was in this role is a little disheartening, but
and we just had our brief introduction to Christopher Lloyd as Professor Plum.
Yeah, Doc Brown the pervert.
Yes.
And then we got Miss Peacock, Mrs. Peacock, and Elaine Brennan staring at her boobs there. she actually was kind of fresh out of rehab.
I did not
coming
know
off of this movie, and that was part of the reason Carrie Fisher was not selected, was because she was going through her Postcards from the Edge era.
Right.
And she was unfit to be in the movie.
Yeah.
And there's just so many of these like little one-liners in the movie. It's full of them.
There's so much great physical comedy that you're just going to hear us laugh randomly if you're not watching with us.
So we got Michael McKean as Mr. Green.
Yeah.
Professor Plum is Christopher Lloyd. And yes, they have turned him into a big horn dog.
And Michael McKean is one of those people that I recognized a lot in movies growing up, but didn't know him by name until I started watching Laverne and Shirley reruns. And
was he Lenny or Squiggy?
He was Lenny.
Okay.
And I, like when I was about, I don't know, 10, 11 years old, I realized that, hey, Lenny from Laverne and Shirley is also the con artist from Short Circuit 2, and he was also Mr. Green in Clue, and you know, it all kind of came together.
Because Spinal Tap probably didn't come on your radar until
that was more a teen later, So seeing him in Better Call Saul and having, you know, he's become even more of a recognizable name than he was before, because he's in the, you know, major TV series right now.
And this is around the same time as Back to the Future, 1985.
Yeah.
So Christopher Lloyd was having a good run right around the mid-80s, and it looks totally different here than he did as Doc Brown, because they aged him up a bunch.
He looks more like Judge Doom.
Yeah, he's going for the squeeze there. Now, Miss Scarlet, Leslie Ann Warren, Brianna mentioned it when we were rewatching it. She gives off a very similar vibe as a young Susan Sarandon.
I have always felt the exact same way.
And Susan Sarandon, I have no problem saying she still can get it.
Yeah.
Like, she's just always been a very attractive older woman.
Yeah.
That even if as I have gotten older, I still appreciate. It's not like, well, it's weird for me to find her attractive.
The mother lover skit made absolute sense to me.
Yeah, exactly. So, she's definitely giving off that kind of vibe. And the whole Rocky Horror parallel is great, because Tim Curry.
Yeah.
And there's a mansion in the dark.
The chemistry of this cast, I would imagine this had to be an extremely fun movie to shoot.
Everything I have read said that they had so much fun making this movie.
And you can see it. You can see them. And the movie is... It's a near perfect production, because it has a lot of opportunities for plot holes and errors, but upon repeated viewing, which it's funnier every time you see it, it's pretty clean. Like, everything is really well thought out.
I buttle.
What do? I buttle.
Well, what's all this about, Butler?
What's all this?
What's all this, then?
The reason why, ours what to do and die. Die. Merely quoting, sir, from Alfred Lord Tennyson.
I prefer Kipling myself. The female of the species is more deadly than...
Remember that song?
The female species is more deadly than the male.
I had totally forgotten about it until I was looking that up.
So is this for our host? No, sir, for the seventh guest, Mr. Boddy.
I thought Mr. Boddy was our host. Sorry, yeah. So who
Jinx.
Is our host, Mr. Wadsworth?
Wouldn't you like to know?
It's a great telling smug smirk.
Dr. Frank Infurter.
I will keep something warm for you.
See, even Miss Scarlet's looking at him.
Then again, I think Scarlet swings both ways, because she...
Oh, here we go. More ASMR for you. This is so ridiculous. It's Professor Plum and Miss White having a soup-slurping battle to the amusement and befuddlement of everybody else at the table. I will admit, I started waiting for all of them to start doing it.
You're right.
Like, in a round.
Well, someone's got to break the ice, and it might as well be me. I mean, I'm used to being on.
Love this delivery.
Work, and it's always
soup
difficult.
Is amazing.
When a group of new friends meet together for the first time to get
She's
acquainted.
On a filibuster
so
right now.
So I'm perfectly prepared to start the ball rolling. I mean, I have absolutely no idea what we're doing here. Oh, what I'm doing here, what this place is about, but I am determined to enjoy myself, and I'm very intrigued, and oh my, this soup's delicious.
She hasn't even tasted it.
Yeah.
You say you are used to being a hostess as part of your husband's work?
Yes, it's an integral part of your life when you are the wife of a...
Oh, I've said too much.
Oh, but then I forgot we're not supposed to say who we really are. Though.
I wonder if this inspired Reservoir Dogs.
Don't you?
Bunch of strangers who meet, not supposed to talk about their past, given colorful names.
How do you know who I am?
I work in Washington, too.
Washington, so
somebody dies by the end of the movie.
Right.
Well, come on, then. Who's your husband?
I've seen a lot of those, themed board games, obviously, like, you know, Star Wars Opoly and all those. I think a Reservoir Dogs Clue would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that would be.
Sounds like hard work.
It was Mr. Pink. Oh. He's very jumpy. Is that the second jump scare of his?
Yeah. And McKean just plays it straight. That's part of the reason he's so hilarious and why the last line of this movie is so funny, because he just plays his entire...
I watch Professor Plum around Yvette.
He gets Twitter-pated rather easily.
They're Twitter-pated.
Twitter-pated?
Yes.
Mm. Oh, here we go. This is going to be a tell.
This is one of my favorite recipes.
I know, madam.
Hmm.
So, what do you do in Washington,
we don't know what it is.
DC,
right.
Come on, what do you do? I mean, how are we to get acquainted if we don't say anything about ourselves?
Perhaps he doesn't want to get acquainted with you.
Well, I'm sure I don't know, but if I wasn't trying to keep the conversation going, then we would just be sitting here.
This is well written. This is a politician's spouse. This is how they act.
Silence, Mrs. Peacock?
Yes, what? No, why?
Well, it just seems to me that you are. You seem to suffer from what we call pressure of speech.
We? Who's we?
Yeah, and he's analyzing.
Yeah.
I do know a little bit about psychological medicine, yes.
Well, you're a doctor?
As far as expository dialogue goes, it's rather well executed.
I think most men need a little practice, don't you, Mrs. Peacock? Huh? So what do you do, Professor?
I work for, the United Nations Organization. Another politician. Jesus. No.
You know who.
Uh-huh. I love that joke. It's a joke you don't get until you analyze the dialogue.
The acronym, yeah.
Family planning. What about you, Colonel? Are you a real colonel?
I am, sir.
You're not going to mention the coincidence that you also live in Washington, D.C.?
How did you know that?
I'm trying to tell what they're eating. It looked like biscuits and gravy.
That looks delicious.
I've seen you before.
Or mashed potatoes.
Although you may not have seen me.
But it's not.
So Wadsworth is just enjoying the show.
Yeah.
Sure do. But does anyone here not live in Washington, D.C.?
I don't. Yes, but you work for the United Nations. It's a government job. And the rest of us all live in a government.
We're finding the captions aren't exactly verbatim.
Yeah.
Wadsworth, where is our host and why we've been brought here?
Saved by the Bell.
How many other movies based on board games have you seen?
Well, there's Battleship.
Which I didn't see. I didn't buy
it. I didn't see, and a lot of people shit on it, but I've heard it actually isn't that bad.
All right.
When you take it for what it is.
Okay.
I've seen, of course, the fictional board game movies like Jumanji and Zathura, which are not real board games.
Right.
What are they all doing?
Have you seen the Ouija movie?
I have not.
Okay.
And then I've mostly seen like video game movies, not board game movies.
Yeah, same here. I don't think there are enough board game movies. I think that I would love to see Jonathan Lynch produce a Monopoly movie done in the style of Clue, or at least lives in the same universe as Clue.
You received a letter. My letter says it will be to your advantage to be.
There's Lee Ving, not his real name.
Will bring to an end a certain long-standing, confidential, and painful financial liability.
Which is an odd casting choice, friend. I feel.
I received a similar letter.
Like just some random guy from a punk band.
Yeah. Received a letter. Although he's pretty good in it, and I feel like he's doing a De Niro impression.
Now, how did you?
Yeah,
minus the repeating himself.
Don't we,
dear? British De Niro.
Forget my curiosity, Mr. Body, but did your letter say the same thing?
No.
I see. Can I interest any of you in proof?
A lot of side eye here.
In that case,
now, Miss White, is she supposed to be Asian? Like, she has almost an Asian look to her.
In the movie or in the board game?
In the movie.
I don't think so.
Because Madeline Kahn is not Asian, but I don't know. There's something, the way she plays the character is just so weird anyway.
And it's funny you say that, because Sarah has often been told that she resembles Madeline Kahn from this movie when her hair was short, which it is again now. And she's often also been asked if she's part Asian.
See, I've never seen that. Like,
she gets
it
a lot.
But I've known Sarah since high school.
Right,
so,
exactly. You know. We've known her since before.
And I know her last name is as far from Asian as...
Yeah, yeah, it's... It's Brown. Her last name is Brown.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm instructed to explain to you what you all have in common with each other. And unless you would care to do the honors, Mr. Bunny?
Why me?
They know who I am?
I don't think so. You've never identified yourself with them, I believe.
It's a hoax. I suggest we all leave.
I'm sorry, sir. You cannot leave.
I feel like a lot of his dialogue is ADR.
I think it is.
Windows have bars. All the doors are locked.
This is an outrage. You can't hold us prisoner.
Yeah, it sounds tinny or something.
Please return to the study. Everything will be explained.
That didn't even really sound like Tim
you
Curry.
You too, Mr. Body.
Other way.
Actually, considering... I'm guessing the shoot of this movie was rather intense. They probably did a lot of different takes. Mm-hmm. There's probably quite a bit of ADR in this.
You can't get out, Matt. Why not? It's only glass.
Oh, dear. It's a Doberman.
Well, that got intense. Well, Mr. Green's on the job. He can't drink.
Right. What about Mrs. Peacock? I bet if they had some peachful, easy feeling, they would be drinking that.
Exactly.
And there's no fear of being poisoned.
Now, we didn't discuss drinking game for this yet.
Okay. Anytime there is a lecherous stare at Yvette's cleavage.
Okay. So I got to make up for like five drinks right now.
Anytime. And just on screen. Like, if we do it, we don't have to drink.
Okay.
It's just assumed.
Good.
And then anytime a character dies, well, yes. Obviously.
As everyone here is in the same boat. There's no.
What about when somebody's name is said? What about when a color is said?
Thank you, Yvette.
Yeah, we can throw that in.
And we'll even exclude like Yvette and Wadsworth. Because whenever a color is said, we'll take a drink.
Now, is Yvette the prototypical hot French maid?
I think so.
Like, I don't remember that being a stereotype thing until this movie, but it would have had to have been, right?
I would think.
It's just the first time it came on my radar.
Right.
It's like, oh yeah, this is a hot thing.
Yeah, first time in my life that it was sexualized to me directly.
So for our generation, Yvette launched a whole kink.
Yes.
And thing. Yeah. Good job, Colleen.
Yes, thank you. Colleen Camp. Nailed it.
In return for delivering your husband, Senator Peacock's vote to certain lobbyists.
My husband is a paid consultant. There is nothing wrong with that.
Not if it's publicly declared, perhaps. But if the
Mr. Body's pants are really hiking up at the socks.
Yeah. Well, and this... That's it, stinks. Oh, how would you know? This proves the painting behind him that a lot of stuff on IMDb trivia is untrue because they try to say that is actually a painting of Mr. Body dressed as the butler. That is not.
No.
That's like a revolutionary soldier.
Yeah. And so, why would the production go into that amount of detail for no reason?
Right. Well, they people were saying that's supposed to be a clue that like he's sitting underneath a picture of him as the butler and nobody's picking up on it.
Okay.
That like he's not who he actually is. I keep wanting somebody to lift the head up on that bust
push
and push
a button and go down to the Batcave.
Yeah.
How did you know Colonel Mustard works in Washington? Is he one of your clients?
Certainly not.
I was asking Miss Scarlet.
Well, you tell him it's not true.
It's not true.
Is that true?
No, it's not true.
Ha-ha! So it is true.
A double negative.
Double negative. You mean you...
There's so much wordplay and just good banter in this movie.
Are you trying to make me look stupid in front of the other guests?
You don't need any help from me, sir.
That's right.
Terrible about Colonel Mustard visiting a house of ill fame.
Did you see A Stupid Feudal Gesture? Movie about Doug Kinney?
Wait, the guy from National Lampoon, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I did see that on Netflix.
And Martin Mull plays, adult, but modern day Doug Kinney, which for those who know the Doug Kinney story, if you're confused by that, see the movie. I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah.
But he's hilarious in it.
Oh.
I love when she does that.
Yeah. I can see why. I didn't kill him. It was an orgasmic laugh.
I don't want a scandal, do I? We had had a very humiliating...
All of her dialogue here cracks me up.
He was deranged. He was lunatic.
She has many moments in this movie.
He had threatened to kill me in public. Why would he want to kill you in public?
I think she meant he threatened in public to kill her.
Oh. Was that his final word on the matter? Being killed is pretty final, wouldn't you say?
And yet he was the one who died.
What did she die from?
Not you.
It was a form of cancer, I believe.
He was a scientist. Nuclear physics.
Light. So it's all people in Washington and scientists. And
I'm afraid it came as a great shock to him when he died. But he was found dead at home. His head had been cut off. And he was
also had his,
Schwanz. All the men cross their legs.
Do you miss him?
This is definitely a movie you need to watch along with us because there's so much physical comedy.
He was your second husband. Your first husband also disappeared.
But that was his job. He was an
illusionist. But he never reappeared.
He wasn't a very good illusionist.
I have something to say.
I raped your baby today.
I'm not going to wait for Wadsworth here to unmask
Misfits.
Me. I work for the state.
Lee Ving would appreciate it.
He probably kept saying it on set to keep reshooting. I love
I feel
that.
No personal shame or guilt.
So Mr. This. Green's gay.
He opens up and then Wadsworth looks at the paper like, what? That's
yeah,
not
like,
in here.
That's not on there. Nowadays, it's like, who cares? But we're right. We're in...
He sits back down next to Professor Plum. Yeah. Plum stands up and
the McCarthy era.
Right.
Mr. Body.
So, a lot of Red Scare going on.
Yes, communism was just a red herring.
He's the one who's blackmailing you.
Oh, snap. Oh, Colonel Mustard's wanting to go to fisticuffs. Stooges.
Uh-huh.
With the music and everything.
This is like the one moment that it almost gets too zany.
Yeah, a
but
little bit.
It's somehow is fine.
Necessary, Mrs. Pike.
Like,
and then Peacock is just happy about it.
Because, like, Mr. Body looks like he could actually throw down. Like, why would he do an eye poke,
yeah.
You
know? On secrecy. You've all admitted how he's been able to blackmail you. All you have to do is tell the police he'll be convicted and
he's got a bloody nose.
It's not so easy.
All right, so Lee Ving is a young Robert Loggia.
Oh, you're right.
And the older Lee gets, it proves my point.
Really?
Like, if you look at him now, he does resemble Robert Loggia a lot.
One of my favorite commercials ever was Robert Loggia in an orange juice commercial. It was. It made no sense, and it was ahead of its time. It was like before Geico or anything.
And I'm not drinking.
Oh, no, it's sweet. You like it.
I don't believe you.
Well, then who would you believe?
I don't know, Robert Loggia. Whoa, Robert Loggia.
Billy, your mother's right. New Minute Maid orange tangerine tastes great. And it's got as much calcium as milk.
If you say so, Mr. Loggia.
Yeah.
He brought gifts, like any good host will do. But how do all these fit in that bag? Because look how thick those, or how deep those boxes are.
Yeah.
He should only be able to fit three of those in that thing. But he's pulling out six. Oh, okay.
No, some of them are pretty shallow.
Okay. All right, I'm back in. I was calling bullshit.
You wrote this
there.
Movie off until that moment.
And here we go. This is the board game moment.
I enjoy getting presents from strange men.
Hmm.
Of all movies that should not have worked, being based on other source material, this is the one that shouldn't have worked. I mean, I would think. You're making a movie out of the board game Clue. That's going to be ridiculous and stupid.
Right.
This movie would have been a success without the board game.
Candlestick. A rope.
Get the rope.
New York City.
Right. I love those salsa commercials.
Got the pipe.
And
oh, sure, the gay guy's laying pipe.
Yeah, right. What's left? What do we got left, listeners? Who played Clue when they were kids? We got our wrench.
So what's the last one? Or second to last one,
yeah,
I think.
A gun. And finally, Mrs. Peacock.
With the dagger.
Yep.
It's a cool looking dagger.
In your hands, you each have a lethal weapon.
Mel Gibson's in this movie.
I'm too old for this shit.
If you denounce me to the police, you will also be exposed and humiliated.
What's weird is, like, when he says the line, we're acquainted, aren't we, dear? Or are we, my dear? He sounds British when he says
if
it.
If one of you kills Wadsworth now, no one but the seven of us will ever know. He has the key to the front door.
And now he sounds like Joe Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Which he said would only
he does.
Wind over his dead body.
I'm Fat Tony. He even hit the laugh.
Yeah.
So what we're finding out is Joe Montana owns his acting career to Lee Ving from Fear in the movie Clue.
The only way to avoid finding yourselves on the front pages is for one of you to kill Wadsworth.
Now.
Now.
Moan. Gunshot. Cat scream.
Uh-oh.
It's not Wadsworth.
Is he alive?
Mr. Grant.
body.
Stand back! Come here!
Let me see.
I'm finishing up my meat stick. In honor of Mr. Green.
He's dead!
What? Oh, who had the gun?
I did.
Then you shot him.
I didn't.
Well, you had the gun. If you didn't shoot him, who did?
Who done it?
Nobody! Look, there's no gunshot wound. Somebody tried to grab the gun from me.
Searched the body pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Look! The bullet broke that vase on the mantel! Oh, sorry, excuse me. He's absolutely right. Look, there's a bullet hole here in the wall. See that? How did he die?
It's a very small bullet hole.
I'm not a forensic expert.
Well,
but I guess it's a small revolver.
Yeah, small caliber bullet, I guess.
I need a drink.
Unless he was poisoned.
Maybe he was poisoned!
So, what you're hearing is Peacock just freaking out.
Now, where's Wadsworth during all this?
I think he's just standing off to the side watching the chaos.
I had to stop her from screaming.
Was the brandy poisoned?
I don't.
Looks like we'll never know.
Unless.
Eventually.
Unless she dies too.
They're all just grouped around her, waiting for her to die.
Nope. Yeah, Wadsworth ain't in there.
Oh, that's right. At this point, he's...
Oh, wait, there he is. But where'd he come from?
He, if you go back and you rewatch the movie after they explain where everybody went at the end, it all makes sense. If you go back and watch, you can tell that he wasn't in the room. It's Kemper what he did. He went through one of the secret passages to kill the cook, I think.
You locked me up with the melt, are you idiot?
So the murderer is in this room.
Mais oui!
But where?
Where? Here!
Is that a hyena?
We are all looking at him.
Oh, yeah.
He's what Mrs. White said in the study. One of you is the killer.
How did you know he said that?
I was listening.
But why were you screaming in here all by yourself?
On delay.
You frightened me too. I also drink the cognac. Mon Dieu. I can't stay in here by myself.
Yeah.
Come back to the study.
I'll console you.
There is safety in numbers, my dear.
Reel to reel.
I remember. I think that Wadsworth was throwing away the key at that point.
Mm. What are those ribbons for?
I don't know.
Is there no indication of how he died?
No! This is terrible. This is absolutely terrible. It's not what I'd intended. Oh my God.
Then Tim Curry as well. Like I hadn't seen Rocky Horror until I was like in my 18 years.
Legend.
Yeah.
And Home Alone 2 is probably the first exposure for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Our age.
Annie was one of the first things I saw him in.
Okay. And It, Pennywise.
Yeah, of course It.
But that's like him under makeup. Same with Rocky Horror. Like this is him.
Yeah. This is Tim Curry being Tim Curry.
Sit down. Everyone.
How's he doing health-wise now? I know he had a stroke a few years ago.
I think he's pretty much immobile and, you know, still has a hard time
doing certain
things.
Yvette Panty shot there. Intentional. She knew what she was doing.
Oh, yeah.
That was gratuitous for... Yeah. This is going to go
when
well.
I said that I was Mr. Buddy's butler, this was both true and misleading. I was once his butler.
I
but it was not his untimely death this evening that brought my employment with him to an end.
When did it come to an end?
When my wife decided to end her life. She too was being blackmailed by this odious man.
I don't know what race has to do with it.
Yeah, really.
He hated my wife for the same
reason. And his wife is a black male? That's so weird.
He believed that you were all thoroughly un-American.
Like communists. Don't lean on a table.
Sorry. For some reason, he thought that
and the guy who works for the federal agency is the one who falls when he says un-American.
To take advantage of his patience for a wife. To
what's the Halloween movie he did? The Worst Witch? So is that the one?
But this is I haven't seen it.
Everybody shares a song that he does in it. I think that's what it's called.
I'm not familiar with it at all.
Every October it pops up on my Facebook feed.
And what was your role in all this?
I was a victim, too. At least my wife was.
Well, that doesn't mean you're a victim.
She had friends who were...
Socialists.
Oh, my God.
The horror.
Well, we all make mistakes.
More telling of the time.
The time, yeah.
When this movie takes place.
Well, it's supposed to give them all motivation for why they're being blackmailed, I guess.
But Mr. Boddy threatened to give my wife's name to the House Un-American Activities Committee unless she named them. She refused, and so he blackmailed her.
So I believe the chef was watching TV in the kitchen, and it was some of the McCarthy hearings.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That somebody actually figured out what day this movie takes place on.
Which reminds me of the detective work determining which day, I gotta say it was a good day, took place.
Yeah, have you come across that? I've seen that too, yeah. There's only a certain day that so-and-so shot a triple-double.
Yeah, it's like only that the weather was a certain temperature and all that. It all adds up.
The internet's a hell of a thing. When it's nothing used properly.
Explained. We still don't know who killed him.
But the point is, we've got to find out in the next 39 minutes before the police
now,
arrive.
Okay, 39 minutes. The time gets a little fucky.
Does it?
Yeah.
I haven't timed it before.
Because he said 45, I think, before, and now it's down to 39, and more than 6 minutes have passed.
Yeah.
But that's movies. That happens all the time. Yeah. It's like, oh, we only have 5 minutes to get to this thing in Mission Impossible. And then it's like, it's been 20 minutes.
Right. The best is when time bombs are clearly going much faster than they should be going.
So we had our first, we're all going to run in a group to room to investigate, and this is going to happen a lot. She's making a chocolate cake, apparently. That's a very clean kitchen.
Great scream.
They reuse it.
I didn't do it. Somebody help me, please. Somebody help me, please.
She's a big woman. So, I think she just dropped her cigarette and they landed on it.
Don't touch it. That's evidence.
Did you ever see any of the episodes of Smallville where Mike McKeon played Perry White?
No.
He was Perry White in two episodes, and then you heard his voice in a third episode. But Mike McKeon and Annette O'Toole are married in real life. They were nominated for an Oscar for the song they wrote for A Mighty Wind, but that's why he guest starred in Smallville, and he was hilarious. He was excellent.
Come on, that's cool. There is only one admitted killer. So we find out Miss Scarlet has the same defense mechanism as I do.
Well, you paid the black
humor.
How many husbands have you had?
Mine or other women's?
Yours.
Five.
Yes,
just the five. Husband should be like cleaning.
She never blinks.
Soft, strong, and disposable.
You lure men to their deaths like a spider with flies.
Flies are where men are most vulnerable.
Right. Well, if it wasn't you, then who was it?
Martin Mull's confused facial expressions throughout the whole movie are fantastic.
Yes, but I put it down.
Where?
In the study.
Where?
I don't know. Before I paid it, after I paid it, I don't know. But any of you could have picked it up.
And Eileen Brennan was also in Murder by Death, as well as...
Great band.
Did you ever see The Cheap Detective, Neil Simon?
I did not.
Neil Simon wrote it, and then Bob Moore directed it, same as Murder by Death.
The body's gone.
She just did a header into the floor.
Nobody.
What do you mean?
Nobody. Nobody. That's what we mean. Mr. Body's body. It's gone.
Maybe he wasn't dead.
Mr. Body's body's gone.
He should have made sure.
How? By cutting his head off, I suppose.
That wasn't called for.
Where is he?
You're not. This is obviously before forensics right. got involved. They're like just dumping bodies willy nilly wherever,
touching them all over the place. Everybody's touched every murder weapon.
Well, he couldn't have been dead.
Yeah, Professor thought he was.
At least I thought he was. But
candlesticks are upright.
Quite a difference to him.
Thank
I'll
God.
Drink to that.
No, we're supposed to drink if they're askew. But,
oh, is that what we decided? Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, whatever.
We'll drink to candlesticks in general. When we see candles that are in the movie.
We just, we just appreciate it. I don't know.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I have to, is there a little girl's room?
Wee wee.
Wee wee, madame. No, I just want
to
powder my nose.
When I was a kid, I knew that wee-wee or wee meant yes in French, and I thought I was so smart for getting that joke.
That's humor that kids can get. Because there is a lot, I feel, that would go over a kid's head.
Yeah.
But this obviously appealed to a lot of people of our age because it became a cult classic from constantly being on cable TV and home video. That's where it found its audience.
Me too.
Let me see.
But it's a lot more popular than I ever thought it really
Nobody
was.
Nobody can get into that position.
Sure they can. Let me show you.
I love her line here.
Get off me.
Oh, no. Mr. Body.
Still screaming. It looks like Frankenstein's monster.
It does.
All right, so now we have two corpses.
Oh, that's right.
He's dead. Mr. Body.
Dead. Again.
Oh, my God.
She's going to faint. Sorry, cancer. Pour into my arms. Sorry.
You've got blood on your hands.
I didn't do it.
And now you can injuries. Notice the candlestick perched on the door now? Frame.
Why would he?
Because you know it's coming.
Uh-huh.
It's so unnecessary.
Well, that's what we call overkill. We call
that's another time. Metal band.
Unless he wasn't dead before.
What's the difference?
That's what we're trying to find out. We're trying to find out who killed him and where and with what.
There's no need to shout.
I'm not shouting.
Yes, I am.
All right, I am. I'm shouting.
How did they get that to move like that? Because he didn't
fishing
close
line.
The door. Yeah. They hit him perfectly.
Uh-huh.
The ladies are doing the heavy lifting.
Right.
Okay, put the corpses on the sofa.
Four maximum cleavage shots, I'm sure.
Wow, wow, he's very nice.
And Professor Plum probably getting a cheap feel.
Careful, don't get blood on the sofa.
How do we do this? The dagger will go
up. Oh, there's one.
Oh, yep.
Tip her forward over the arm.
Professor looking at the boobs.
Oh, now he's looking at the cook's butt.
Get higher, baby.
Now he's sandwiched between two bit dead bodies.
Now. Who had access to the candlestick?
All of us. It was given to you.
Yeah, whenever I think of this movie, I don't remember it being nearly as morbid as it is, even though you would think that that's the first thing you think of.
Right.
It's a very dark comedy.
Lots of slapstick.
And lots of slapstick involving corpses.
Yeah. There are different levels of humor. There's like the wordplay, then there's just like the base slapstick humor stuff. So yeah, it'll appeal to multiple audiences.
But what if you're the murderer?
I'm not. But what if you are?
What is going to be put somewhere? If I've got it, I know I'm safe.
We don't know that we are.
I have an idea.
We'll throw it away.
Good idea.
Wonderful. Right away. Brilliant.
That'll do it.
Now, is everybody at the door?
Sorry. Can we help?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disturb the whole household, but my car broke down out here, and I was wondering if I could use your phone.
Just a moment, please. Very well, sir. Would you care to come in?
Well, where is it?
What, the body?
The phone. What body?
But there's nobody. Nobody. There's nobody in the study.
No. No, no. No.
But I think there's a phone in the lounge.
Thank you.
When you've finished your call, perhaps you'd be good enough to wait here.
Certainly.
Now I'm going to lock you in this room.
Looks kind of like Norman Bates' parlor.
Yeah. There's not enough taxidermy.
Yeah. Could use a few more birds. Oh, there's a bird.
Where's the key?
In my pocket.
Not that key, the key to the cupboard. With the weapons.
You still wish me to throw it away?
Yes!
And Yvette said we there. I read her lips, so she's committing to the character.
All right. Go Colleen Camp.
Say you were surprised I was looking at her face.
Well... What now?
Wadsworth, let me out.
No.
Why not?
We got to know who did it. We're all in this together now.
If you leave, I'll say that you killed them both.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
No.
Oh, Wadsworth, I'll make you sorry you ever started this. One day when we're alone together.
Mrs. White, no man in his right mind
that's a
will
threat.
Be together with you. Oh. Well, I could use a drink.
Oh, so
yeah, me too.
All right.
How about some peachful, easy
just
feeling?
Checking.
Everything all right?
Yep, two corpses, everything's fine.
else.
I'm not a whiskey guy. Yeah. I'm a beer guy.
I'm a fan of whiskey.
All right, look.
That is not a good poor job.
Wadsworth, am I right in thinking there is nobody else in this
That's
house?
That's a great joke in The Chief Detective about Brandy.
No, sorry, I said no meaning yes. No meaning yes? Look, I want a straight answer.
Don't ask Mr. Green.
Oh, snap.
Zing.
No, there is or no there isn't.
Yes.
Don't you think we should get that man out of the house before he
Nouveau
finds out
riche?
What's been going
on here? What's the third word there?
What was it?
It says nouveau riche, which means new rich.
Yeah,
like it's new money.
Which I believe that was actually on the mantle already. They didn't add it. That was on the mantle.
Don't wait
house.
Half an hour. The police will be here by then, and there are two dead bodies in this.
I feel like the guy could hear. Yeah, could hear
well,
that.
Well, there is still some confusion as to whether or not there's anybody else in this house.
I told you there isn't.
There isn't any confusion, or there isn't anybody else.
Either,
or both.
Just give me a clear answer.
Certainly.
What was the question?
Is there anybody else in the house?
No!
That's what he says. You
know? So he didn't really need the answer.
Right. In proper military fashion, we split up and search the house.
Now, I believe the way they are paired off goes by how they are typically like arranged on the board.
The order of the colors on the board.
Where the killer might get killed. Then we would have discovered who the murderer is.
But the other half of the pair would be dead.
This is war, Peacock. Casualties are inevitable. You cannot make an omelet without breaking eggs. Every cook will tell you that.
But look what happened to the cook.
Fair point.
Colonel, are you willing to take that chance?
And just even that detail to make the pairing up of each character to correspond with the order of the characters on the board, it's an unnecessary thing.
Well, and also, it works on the plot, too, because, like, Wadsworth gets paired up with Mrs. White, who just threatened him, like, if we're ever alone. You have Michael McKean's Mr. Green paired. He's the closeted gay man. They pair him up with the sex bomb of the movie.
Right.
You've got Professor Plum, the pervert, with the old woman, Mrs. Peacock, and, of course, Madam Miss Scarlet with one of her Johns,
right,
her clients.
But she doesn't even realize.
Yeah, Colonel Mustard.
The cellar and so on up.
Now, I read another thing. They had to arrange these so, like, they were pulled properly, but they're off camera. So that makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, he could literally just have his palm out and they're just picking him off of his hand.
Yeah.
So another one I got to call bullshit on. Okay. I think somebody was looking at her boobs.
I know at least one person was. Probably at least two.
Colonel Mustard seems okay with his pick. Now, Leslie Ann Warren married John Peters, who was one of the producers.
Interesting.
Famously known for having an obsession with having a giant spider in a movie.
Yes.
And Kevin Smith has told that story many times.
Famously known for randomly wrestling people and being kind of an all-around Hollywood producer type.
He married Miss Scarlet, and I believe they had at least one kid together. I don't know if they're still together or not.
Now, do you know if they were together before she got the role?
No.
Or? Okay.
No, I think this is where they met. So,
well, we know what's in the study. Mm-hmm. Just come from the library, and the stranger's locked up in the lounge.
Let's go in the billiard room again.
Well, of course, you got to send Yvette up the stairs. Just saying.
And we're not unhappy that they did.
Of course, it's a dark and stormy night, like Snoopy always writes about. You know, the classic mystery trope. It was a dark and stormy night. And we freeze.
Do you want to go up in front of me?
Absolutely no.
I'm sure there's no one up there.
This is another one of those jokes that I remember thinking was really funny as a kid, that it keeps cutting back to them and they're still standing at the bottom of the stairway.
Now, you know Professor Plum or Colonel Mustard would have sent her up first.
Yes.
So, Mr. Green, trying to maybe be the proper man, and also, he's not interested in Yvette's assets, so we think.
Well, ladies first.
Yep. He's even with Peacock.
Mrs. Peacock.
No. I insist.
Well, what are you afraid of? A fate worse than death?
No, just death. Isn't that enough?
So it is 7:05.
Yes,
no.
Yes.
6:00. What?
It's 7:05. Right. Just a weird clock.
Okay. Apparently so. It looks like it hasn't hit the 7 yet, but the minute hand is too far ahead.
Well, neither do I, but there must be switches somewhere.
Shall I come in with you?
No. I mean, no, thank you.
And even this, a lot of this dialogue, just it would have fallen flat with the wrong actors. Mm-hmm. It's the perfect cast. They bring it all together.
Why are there so many empty, like, brandy decanters and stuff?
Oh, no.
And what is his obsession with, like, walking at the same time as somebody? That happened once before. A lot of beer steins up there.
Gotta get in a quick game of pool while you're trying to solve the murder.
I have a feeling, were the pool balls that laid out when Yvette was in there?
I don't know.
I don't think they were.
Yeah, I don't think so.
There they are.
Green and Yvette still at the bottom of the stairs.
Gone? I'll be right behind you.
That's why I'm nervous.
Then we go together.
I'm a little bit colorblind. Are his glasses green? Because I'm pretty sure his suit is mostly blue.
Okay, here's the thing. For their colors, none of them wear the color associated with their name, but every vehicle matches their name.
Right.
So, like, Professor Plum's car is purple, Miss Scarlet's is red, and et cetera, et cetera.
And with everyone else, they were just trying to make the all-around appearance of the costume somehow match what their name is. That's why Peacock's got a hat with a bunch of feathers coming out of it.
Right.
Are you hiding?
And why, you know, White has very fair skin, and, you know, White lining her coat, but mostly wears black.
Get your mitts off me.
He jumped at that chance. Yeah, I'm with you.
No, not a fan of rats?
I'm not a fan of any kind of rodent.
Not even squirrels?
Squirrels are just rats with bushy tails. That's why people think they're cute. If they had a long stringy tail, nobody would like squirrels. That's just saying. Just saying.
Oh. Nobody here.
It's behind one of those curtains.
I don't see any feet.
You look. I'll search the kitchen.
Yeah, you go look. So now they're separated again. And then Wadsworth and White separated. So we have people being...
We have people doing unattended. Things on their own.
Yeah, except for Green and Yvette are staying together, and Peacock and Plum. There's a slow build here. And it is a Ted Danson cardboard cutout. Man and a baby. No. It's a weird thing to just be broken like that.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, everybody has forgotten about the dude locked in the one room making a phone call.
Or they're just happy to have locked him in there.
Yeah. He's been in there for at least 10 minutes now.
Yeah.
Again, how long does it take to make a phone call? I know it's 1954 or whatever, but it shouldn't take that long. So here's all the evidence. We do not see the negatives of the precarious positions of
they must be in the envelope. Mustard.
I feel like that didn't get put in the fire properly to burn.
I think some of the evidence is still salvageable.
Yeah. Nope. OJ's there. Now, this guy, he was in the very first movie we ever did of Drunk at the Movies. He was in the Hulk Hogan, No Holds Barred.
It's his IMDb profile pick, I believe.
It is. It's so bizarre that that would be your pick. But he's dead, so I don't know if he made that choice.
Yeah.
So there's the wrench, which was Colonel Mustard's. Old boss from where? YL7091. What happened to that car? How would that even happen?
I guess he went up a ramp.
It's levitating.
The car looks mean.
Is there a Mr. Pistachio? Is that the guy who made the phone call? Is that his name?
Who's Mr. Pistachio?
I don't know. He's driving a pistachio-colored car, so he must be like Mr. Lime or, I don't know. So where is the dog now? That's where that Doberman was hanging out. Why would you lean on the wall?
He was trying to look sexy.
I guess.
So you've heard me mention a movie a few times, probably. It's a disaster. It's another dinner party movie. It's about six friends, a few couples who get together and have a Sunday brunch every week. But during their Sunday brunch, they have very good reason to believe that it's the end of the world, that the world is ending all around them, and they're kind of trapped in the house because they can't go walk outside or they'll breathe in poisonous gas. The movie reminds me very much of Clue, because that's the plot, but it's a comedy. It's a very very kind of underground, unknown comedy from, I think, 2013.
Okay.
As David Cross is one of the bigger names in it.
One of my favorite, like, dinner party ones is Rope, which is another Hitchcock movie.
Mm-hmm.
James Stewart's in it.
And for those who don't know, Rope is the movie that Hitchcock wanted to make it look like it was all one continuous camera shot. One long one.
Like a stage play, because it mostly takes place just in the one room.
Right.
So. There was a modern adaptation of it that I've watched, and I can't remember what it was called, but I feel like it even referenced Rope in the movie. He committed to that. I mean, he ran in pretty good. I don't know why Yvette thinks this would be a good idea. And just such a nonchalant way to tell them.
Why are you shooting that thing at us?
We'll get you out.
You know, you could have killed us. I could have been killed.
Oh.
I can't take any more scares.
The timing and everything in this movie is rather impeccable. Mm-hmm. The sound effects, the delivery of the dialogue.
Which one of you did it? We found him. Together. How did you get in?
The door was locked.
It's a great trick. There's a secret passageway from the conservatory.
It's not the same gun.
From the cupboard.
But it was locked.
No, it was unlocked.
Unlocked?
But yes, see for yourself.
Not a very good French accent.
It's not. It's a bit cartoony, but somehow it works for this movie.
How did you know it was unlocked? How did you know that you could get at the gun?
I didn't. I think I would break it open, but it was open already.
A likely story.
Has it been the 35 minutes?
Just go away.
That's what we think every time somebody rings the doorbell and Maximo's like going ham.
Maybe they'll just go away.
Yeah.
I'm going to open it.
Ah, it's some Mormons.
I just have nothing to hide. I didn't do it. The key. You.
That's George Washington in that photo.
Yeah, exactly.
Good evening, sir.
Yes.
I found an abandoned car down near the gates of this house. Did the driver come in here for any help by any chance?
No.
Yeah.
Well, actually, yes.
No.
There seemed to be some kind of disagreement.
No.
Yes.
Can I come in and use your phone?
Of course you may, sir. You may use the one in the, No. you could use the one in the... No. Oh, would you be kind enough to wait in the, library?
Sure.
You white people are weird. Now...
Don't I know you...
Would it have been normal for it to be mid-50s and there to be a black police officer? For some reason, to me, that seems possibly out of place with the time.
feel like maybe in the younger South. Office. Yeah, in the South.
This
that would
is
be
New
true.
England, so maybe they were a little more progressive.
Yes. Yes, the Yankees didn't mind that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Have yourself a drink if you'd like. We're considered Yankees, aren't we?
Not the cognac.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, we're north of the Mason-Dixon line.
We're just close. Yeah, we're right on the cusp of being racist.
We should have told him.
Oh, very well for you to say that now.
I said that. Shut up! Let's clean this up.
I do like that the door has fake books on it, but that makes me wonder if all those books on the wall aren't real either. And then it's like, what's the point?
Anytime I see a really rich person with a huge house or
one of them out and has a secret entrance. Yeah. Yeah.
And I also wonder if they've read any of the books.
That too. Do you think people wonder that when they come in here? They're like, he hasn't watched all these DVDs. And then they try to figure out which one makes the wall revolve. It's like, if you pull on Bubble Boy, the wall disappears.
I would love to hear anybody accuse you of just being like a poser. Like, yeah, you haven't watched any of these.
Yeah, he hasn't seen any of these.
Murder. I just said it so you would open the door. What's going on around here? And why would you lock me in? And why are you receiving phone calls from J. Edgar Hoover?
J. Edgar Hoover?
That's right. The head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Why is J. Edgar Hoover on your phone?
I don't know. He's on everybody else's. Why shouldn't he be on mine?
Is that a joke about bugging phone calls?
Uh-huh.
What's going on here?
We're having a party.
Mind if I look around?
Sure.
He's going to find out what kind of party here in a little bit.
Me?
Yes, you can show him the dining room, the kitchen, the ballroom.
Fine.
So what did you think of the new Clue board game, the rebranding?
I don't know. I believe my text, I sent a picture of it to you. I said, what's this shit?
Yeah.
Because now it's Miss Violet instead of Miss White.
So, this is the dining room.
There's not a Mr. Black.
Dr. Orchid, you mean.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Orchid. That's right. Orchid Violet, yeah, that's what it was.
I like they made her a doctor.
Yeah, she's supposed to be, you know, smarter. I don't know what Miss White was just a Black Widow type of character.
Yeah, well, it wasn't in the original, or in one version of it, there is Mrs. White is a
the maid.
Maid.
That's what I thought. And in the movie here, they kind of like turned it into two roles.
Yeah. And then Scarlett was often portrayed as being a brunette may have been Asian.
So we got Miss White actually making out like she could just have her face close to him.
Yeah.
But she's full on kissing him, pulling the eyes open.
That's kind of the creepiest part of the movie.
Miss Peacock doing.
It's not all that shocking. These folks are just having a good time.
Jeez, if this gonna be that kind of party, I'm gonna stick my dick in the mashed potato.
And then we've got Mr. Pistachio here. And Professor Plum is more than happy to...
He does not mind this role play.
Yeah. He's like, why'd you take so long to come in?
I like to watch.
This man's drunk.
You don't say.
Dead right.
You're not going to drive home, are you?
He won't be driving home, officer, I promise you that.
No.
Somebody will give him a lift.
I also think it's weird, we'll get him a car. And he's not picking up on this. They were all just congregated in the foyer, and he's like, oh, show him around. And then they all decide to just instantly run
just
off
right back
and
to the orgy.
Start getting with it.
Officer, you're too late. I've seen it all.
You have?
I can explain everything.
You don't have to.
I don't.
Don't worry. There's nothing illegal about any of this.
Are you
sure? Mr. Green's expression here cracks me up.
I see.
It's a free country. Don't you know that?
I didn't know it was that free.
May I use your phone now?
Certainly.
Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just
say where we are, then go back to the car.
Yeah, with me, the main issue I had with the new board game design is that the characters all just look so cartoonish.
They do, and they're younger.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we got to be hip and young and sexy. Or and
I had Clue Jr. when I was a kid.
See, that I never had. I just had straight up regular Clue.
And the figures on Clue Jr. looked a lot like the new Clue figures. And that's my first thought was, okay, it just looks like Clue Jr. But I'm guessing they did that because these days, most adults...
Kids don't buy board games?
Right. And adults who do play board games have much more advanced games to choose from. So Clue, you know, back when it came out, you know, it was targeted towards adults, but now it's kind of a child's game.
What were your go-to board games as a kid?
Clue, yep. Monopoly, obvious ones, Battleship. So definitely the blockbuster movie board games.
Trivial Pursuit?
Oh, yeah. Lots of Trivial Pursuit.
I was good at that one.
Pictionary, I always excelled.
Okay. I did enjoy a good game of Scattergories.
Yeah, I'm still good at that one.
I was telling Brianna, I had to look it up on eBay to see what it goes for. I had an Urkel board game called Do the Urkel. You know that did not get made again. and I believe somebody was selling one for about $80. They came with an Urkel doll, which I do not have. Oh, the power has been cut.
I had the Wayne's World board game, the VHS.
Oh, game. Yeah, VHS board games. Those were a thing.
Did you have the Clue VCR board game? I had the Clue board game. It's, you know, you get to watch a little cheesily made Clue movie and then play along.
Everybody is separating right now. The power went out. Everybody's scared. And here we go.
Hello?
Shut the door.
Shut the door.
Did anyone recognize you? They must have, and not just my face. They know every inch of my body.
Oh, my.
Bet they do.
And they're not the only ones. I fucked everybody in this house. Mon Dieu.
I hope my last words aren't, it's you.
I don't know what
it's Yeah, you. That's that's not a good way to go out.
Yeah, like, being surprised by who kills you, it's...
But I have a feeling that I'm in danger. You know, that big, ugly house on top...
I'm gonna burn this shit to the ground.
Hello?
And now we got the pipe.
That's what you get for calling the house ugly.
Are you there?
The Go-Go's. Jane Wiedlin, Joan of Arc, from Bill and Ted.
Yep.
My favorite Go-Go, shot immediately. That is horrifying.
It is.
Why would you own that?
I want one now.
One, it's not Halloween, and that's not, like, out for a decoration. So the shower knob and the doorknob look the same. You can hear the puddles. Hey, there we go.
It's a full moon.
Shaboom, shaboom.
Which makes me think of Eastbound and Down.
Decca. I had a lot of Decca records.
I never got into them.
Yeah. I believe the Beatles were on Decca at one time. In the UK.
They're all just walking around slow and sad, finding more bodies.
And there is Yvette. There's probably a pool ball under her back, which is very uncomfortable, I'm sure.
I hope they check.
Nope, they...
Darn.
I'm waiting for, like, Plum to get one last peek in for a drink, but even he seems uninterested. Oh, no, there's another one, so there's...
That, oh, yeah, that's right, we gotta be drinking
two
to this.
Two more bodies.
Let the bodies hit the floor. It's funny, as I was thinking of that song during Raging Bull.
Really?
When it first came out, like the first time I heard it, I thought he was saying, let the bodies hit the ropes for some reason.
Neither of them shot. I thought I heard a gun.
So did I.
Now he's touching the pipe, the murder weapon again.
Yeah.
And there's our third.
Three murders.
Where was she shot?
Six altogether.
I don't see any blood.
Uniform is red, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah. All right, we'll just leave her out here, too.
Which I think is what you're supposed to do when you find a body.
Technically,
I mean,
yes.
These days with forensics. Back then, it didn't matter.
But they already moved two of them.
Very well. I know who did it.
You do?
And furthermore, I'm going to tell you how it was.
And here we go. Tim Curry's tour de force.
Yes.
Recreating the entire movie in about 10 minutes.
In order to help you understand what happened,
I wouldn't be surprised if this is why Tim Curry took the role, was to just be able to do this.
At the start of the evening, Yvette was here by herself, waiting to offer you all a glass
That's
of
not
champagne.
Champagne.
I was in the hall.
Follow me.
I know, because I was there. Then I hurried across to the kitchen. And the cook was in here, alive. Sharpening knives, preparing for dinner, and then the doorbell rang.
It was so unnecessary for them to run.
And it was you
around the whole time.
All of the blocking and the physical comedy here is completely unnecessary yet completely believable.
Right.
And I ran across the hall to the library.
They're over it at this point.
And smiled and poured you a drink. And the doorbell rang, and it was Mrs. White looking pale and tragic. And I took her coat and I introduced Mrs. White to Colonel Mustard. Hello,
hello.
And I noticed that Mrs. White and Yvette flinched. Then there was a rumble of thunder and a crash of lightning. And to make a long story short,
too late.
One by one, you all arrived. And then the gong was struck by the cook. And we went into the dining room. And Mrs. Peacock sat here. And Professor Plum sat here. And Mrs. White sat here. And Mr. Green, Miss Scarlet, Colonel Mustard. This chair was vacant. Anyway, we all revealed we'd all received a letter. And you'd had a letter, and you'd had a letter, and you'd had a letter.
Yes,
the point is, blackmail.
Well, what's Race got to do with it?
What, the cop?
Yeah. He doesn't come into the story for a while.
You really jumped the gun there.
And Mr. Peacock here, and Miss Scarlet here, and Professor Plum here, and Colonel Mustard, and Mrs. White. I'm getting there. And Mr. Body went to get his surprise back.
Been keeping up with the drinking of colorful names being said. He should be pretty drunk by now.
Uh-oh.
I've seen this movie, I'd say, at least 20 times. I just now noticed that Scarlett lit a cigarette after the lights went out. Like, that's, she lit a cigarette after the lights. She was like, ah, fuck it.
It could only be because he realized that his scheme had misfired and the gunshot was intended to kill him, not me. Look, the bullet grazed his ear. Clearly his best.
That's a tough guy to get shot in the ear and not make a sound.
Whoever grabbed the gun from me in the dark was
trying to lay there still.
Yeah.
What happened next? Mrs. Peacock took a drink. You said, maybe it's poisoned. She screams. I had to stop her screaming. Then
and Mr. Green touched his glasses just like he did when he was doing it.
What an excellent Mikey Keane impression
one
that was.
Wasn't here. No.
No?
No. Maybe one of us was murdering the cook. Who wasn't here with us?
He's still dripping wet, too.
I do. While we stood here, trying to stop Yvette from panicking...
At this point, is it from the shower or just running around all over the place?
Yeah.
Run down the hall!
He looks like Norman Bates.
Oh, how could he risk it? We might have seen him running back.
Not if they used this secret passage. And the murderer ran back down the secret passage to the study.
That's where it comes out?
Yes,
look! Is that J. Edgar Hoover?
How did you know?
This Herbert Herbert?
Friend of mine. I know. Yeah.
So you could be the murderer. Don't be ridiculous. If I was the murderer, why would I reveal to you how I did it?
No, James Bond villains do it all the time,
right?
We found it, Colonel Mustard and me.
You found it? You could have known about it all the time.
No, he found it. He walked backwards into it.
Because she was with us all in the billiard room.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a different one.
Don't you remember?
But what I don't understand is why was the cook murdered? She had nothing to do with Mr. Body.
Of course she did. I gathered you all here together because you were all implicated in Mr. Body's dastardly blackmail.
Again,
did none of you deduce that the others were involved too?
What others?
The cook. And Yvette?
No.
That's how he got all his information. Before he could blackmail anyone, Mr. Body had to discover their guilty secret. The cook and Yvette were his accomplices.
I see. So, whoever knew that the cook was involved killed her?
Yes.
I He's so proud.
Because I was Mr. Body's butler. That the cook had worked for one of you.
Who?
You recognized Yvette, didn't you?
Don't deny it.
What do you mean, don't deny it? I'm not denying anything.
Another denial.
Oh, I'm sure I knew Yvette. My husband had an affair with her, but I didn't care. I wasn't jealous.
You knew Yvette too, didn't you?
Yes, she worked for me.
And you also knew her, sir. We've already established that you were one of Miss Scarlett's clients. That's why you were so desperate to get your hands on those negatives. Photographs of you and Yvette in flagrante delicto, remember?
Mr. Body threatened to send those pictures
I licked
to your
nothing.
Old mother. The shot would have killed her.
Oh, that would have been quite an achievement since you told us that she's dead already. So, he had the motive.
You all had a motive.
But where and when was Mr. Body killed?
Don't you see? Look, we came back from the study with Yvette. Mr. Body was on the floor, pretending to be dead. But one of us knows he's alive. So, I explained that I was Mr. Body's butler and I'd invited you here. And we realized there was only one other person in the house.
Who had no speaking lines, right?
Yeah.
Well, where is he?
That was her exact scream from earlier.
By now, she was dead. We laid her down with our backs to the freezer. One of us slipped through the same secret passage.
Again?
Of course, back to the study. The murderer was in the secret passage. Meanwhile, Mr. Body...
Because she had a cigarette, and now she doesn't.
The murderer came out of the secret panel, picked up the candlestick... Mr. Body pulled us out of the study into the hall looking for an escape. The murderer crept up behind him and killed him.
Will you stop that?
No.
So in high school, there was a play. I was in a few of the high school plays, and we wanted to do Clue, because he let us choose what play we could do, but we couldn't get, you know, of course it wasn't an actual play, couldn't get the rights, but there is a play called The Butler Did It that was very
Clue-like. I remember that
seeing it.
Yeah,
I got to play the body, the guy that gets poisoned, and had a very dramatic death scene that was a lot of fun. I got to play it out for like 3 minutes.
We were all in a huddle. Any one of us could have done that.
Precisely.
Wait a minute. Colonel Mustard has a top secret Pentagon job. Mrs. White's husband was a nuclear physicist, and...
Oh, now he's running.
Yvette is a link between them.
What is your top secret job, Colonel?
I can tell you. He's working on the secret of the next fusion bomb.
How did you know that?
Can you keep a secret?
Yes.
Second on it.
Was this a plot between them, Wadsworth, or did Colonel Mustard do it alone?
We shall see. Let's look at the other murders.
Easy way to not have to write any backstories. Go, can you keep a secret? Well, so can I.
You did.
Of course, it's obvious. Everyone here tonight was either Mr. Body's victim or accomplice. Everyone who has died gave him vital information about one of you. I got them here so they give
the
evidence against him and force him to confess.
Him again.
What about that motorist? What kind of information did he have?
He was my driver during the war.
And what was he holding over you?
A wrench.
He knew
that was me.
War profiteer. I stole essential Air Force radio parts, and I sold them on the black market. That is
again,
always about race.
Yeah.
That does not make me a murderer.
Well, a lot of our airmen died because their radios.
I thought she took that thing out of her hair.
Was the policeman working for Mr. Body too?
She tried putting it back in.
Washington.
I think she just rearranged
it. On my payroll. I bribed him once a week so I could carry on with business. Mr. Body found out somehow.
Oh my God.
Oh, please.
And the singing telegram girl?
Professor Plum's gonna talk for like the first time in a half hour.
Right.
She was my patient once. I had an affair with her. That's how I lost my license. Mr. Body found that out, too.
Well, let's put her in the study with the others. So, now you all
jump,
know.
Jump cut, body drop.
Whoever killed Mr. Body also wanted his.
I always thought Tim Curry would have been a good Grinch.
I thought the same
if
thing.
If they'd have done that before. For the Jim Carrey.
You know why we think that?
Because his facial features and just how animated he is.
In Home Alone 2, they dissolve from the Grinch to Tim Curry.
Yeah.
And so we were brainwashed by John Hughes in so many ways. But that's just one more.
And one of us got
or Christopher Columbus. Or Chris Columbus,
right.
I guess, technically.
1492.
Right.
It contained photographs and letters. The evidence of Mr. Body's network of informants.
Where is the envelope now?
gone. Destroyed.
One of the actresses in It's a Disaster is, I want to say her name is Erin Walsh. I'm going to look it up real quick. But she even reminds me of Madeline Kahn. I thought it'd be great story, if she did like a biopic.
The cupboard, unlocked it with the key, took out the wrench.
Then we found the secret passage from the conservatory to the lounge where we found the motorist dead.
That's right. And we couldn't get in. So we ran to the open cupboard, got the gun, and shot the door open. Bang! And then the doorbell rang.
Erin Hayes. My apologies, Erin Hayes.
They gotta go away or they'll be killed.
It's Howard Hussman.
Have you ever given any thought
to the head of the class?
Uncredited role.
Yeah, for some reason.
Because
he was pretty big at this point.
WKRP in Cincinnati.
Almost upon us.
I got news for you. It's already here.
Go away.
But your souls are in danger.
Our lives are in danger, you beatnik.
I don't know many people who go door to door in the dark in the middle of the night for religious purposes.
Oh my God!
Not again! Turn on the light!
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you.
Too
You're a
late.
Bit late for that.
Hate when he does that.
Then there were three more murders.
So which of us killed them?
None of us killed Mr. Body or the cook. So who did? The one person who wasn't with us. Yvette.
That is not who they were thinking.
She was listening to our conversation. She heard the gunshot. She thought he was dead. And while we all examined the bullet hole, she crept into the study, picked up the dagger, ran to the kitchen, and stabbed the cook. We didn't hear the cook scream, because Mrs. Peacock was screaming about the poisoned brandy. Then Yvette returned to the billiard room. She screamed, and we all ran to her.
Well, when did she kill Mr. Body?
When I said. We all ran to the kitchen to see the cook. Yvette hid in the study to check that Mr. Body was dead. He got up and followed them down the hall.
This is ending number one.
So she hit him on the head with a candlestick and dragged him to the toilet.
Why?
Which, the edit of him turning the lights out again one last time, that's the whole reason that was there, was so that for the original theatrical releases, they could easily edit in all the different edit endings.
Was it one of her clients? Or was it a jealous wife?
This is a pretty solid script. This is a...
No.
Well thought out story.
Well, there was actually a fourth ending that was filmed, and it was with Wadsworth killing everybody.
Oh yeah,
and they cut it out. They just didn't.
Too dark.
Yeah. So there were four separate endings filmed, and they just stuck with the three.
Strangled Yvette, ran to the library, killed the cop. Picked up the gun where Yvette dropped it, opened the front door, recognized the singing telegram from her photograph, and shot her.
That's not nice.
Now I want to watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Gentlemen, turn out your pockets. Ladies, empty your purses. Whoever has the gun is the murderer.
All right.
Brilliantly worked out, Wadsworth. I congratulate you.
Me too.
Shut up!
Now, there's one thing I don't understand.
One thing? Why did you do it? Half of Washington knows what kind of business you run. You were in no real danger. The whole town would be implicated if you were exposed.
I don't think they know my real business. Huh? My business is secrets. And Yvette found them out for me.
I do love Leslie Ann Warren, but this sort of snidely whiplashy, typical villain is a bit over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Plum's UN contacts. And the work of your husband... nuclear physicist.
So, it is political. You're a communist.
No, Mr.
Nope,
Green.
That's the red herring.
Communism is just a red herring. Like all members of the oldest profession, I'm a capitalist. And I'm going to sell my secrets, your secrets.
The oldest profession the being...
What if we don't cooperate?
Magic?
Oh, magic. That's got to be it.
Or I'll expose you.
We could expose you. Six murders?
I hardly think it will enhance your reputation at the UN, Professor Plum.
You know who.
If it's revealed that you have been implicated not only in adultery with one of your patients, but in her death. And the deaths of five other people.
You don't know what kind of people they have at the UN. I might.
There are bullets in the gun. I was just looking.
There's no good blackmailing me, madam. I have no more money.
Neither do I. I know, sweetie pie. But you can pay me in government information. All of you. Except you, Wadsworth. You, as a mere butler, have no access to government secrets. So,
I'm afraid your moment has come.
Not so fast, Miss Scarlet. I do have a secret or two.
Oh, yeah, such as?
The game's up, Scarlet. There are no more bullets left in that gun.
I just said there were.
You don't think I'm going to fall for that old trick?
It's not a trick.
And from where Wadsworth is standing, he should be able to tell.
Two at the lounge door and one for the singing telegram.
That's not six.
1 + 2 + 2 + 1.
There was only one shot that got the chandelier. That's 1 + 2 + 1 + 1.
Even if you were right, that would be 1 + 1 + 2 + 1, not 1 + 2 + 1 + 1.
Okay, fine. 1 + 2 + 1. Shut up! Point is!
I feel like Tim Curry was trying really hard to not smile during that exchange.
Oh, oh. And here to save the day. Where are they going?
Where's the chief?
Huh? Wadsworth, well done.
I did warn you, my dear. Mr. Hoover is an expert on Armageddon.
Wadsworth, don't hate me for trying to shoot you.
Frankly, Scarlett, I didn't give a damn.
Gone with the Wind reference.
Oh, yeah.
There are bullets left in this gun, you see?
Well, technically, he said, frankly, my dear.
Yeah.
1 + 2 + 1 + 2 + 1 is
freeze frame. And that's how it could have happened.
And isn't that even the original clue font from the game? Like in the pattern on the screen from the cards?
And now it says, but how about this? It still doesn't say, but this is what happened.
Yeah. Still throwing out some other options.
Strangle Yvette. Ran into the library. Hit the cop on the head with a lead pipe. There, coming out of the library, the doorbell rang. It was a singing telegram. The murderer picked up the gun where Yvette dropped it, ran to the door, opened it, recognized the girl from her photograph, shot her, and then ran back to the cellar.
The cellar!
Yes.
But Colonel Mustard wasn't in the cellar.
No.
But you were.
So?
You murdered them all. You were the person who was missing when the cook and Mr. Body were
her favorite recipe.
And the cook used to be your cook. Don't you remember your fatal mistake? You told us at dinner that we were eating one of your favorite recipes. And monkey's brains, though popular in Cantonese cuisine, are not.
Gross. I thought it was biscuits and gravy.
I thought monkey's brains was a dessert that was served in India, according to the Indiana Jones universe.
Out of the skull.
Yeah. Like at the end of.
It's all nothing to do with a disappearing nuclear physicist.
Temple of Doom. Temple of Doom. What's the. Faces of Death.
Mrs. Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah. I never saw it.
It's terrible.
There's no proof.
No, I'm okay with never seeing it.
Oh, yeah. That's, I think you made the right choice. You hung out with much better kids than I did, and I was 10.
The gun is the murderer.
Uh-oh.
What are you supposed to do about it?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing at all. I don't approve of murder.
Where'd he come from? He's been laying on the ground the whole time since he was pretending to be hit.
He went to the bathroom to puke after he found out they were eating monkey brains.
Every minute, what happens then? Why should the police come? Nobody's called them.
You mean?
That's right. Now, I suggest that we stack the bodies in the cellar, lock it, leave quietly one at a time, and pretend that none of this has ever happened.
Great idea. I'll leave first. If you don't mind.
Is that a griffin?
In fact, I think we all owe you a vote of thanks.
That or it was the weird monkey dragon from the Pirates of Darkwater. Nibbler? No, not Nibbler. That's obviously Nibbler.
Yeah, she starts singing around.
Which nobody can deny. Which nobody can deny. Which nobody can deny.
And as we know from Young Frankenstein, Madeline Kahn had an amazing singing voice.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Yeah. But what if the authorities find out what happened? The FBI will take care of that.
You mean my phone call for Mr. Hoover? I work for him, of course. How else could I have known anything about you all?
There's still one thing I don't understand.
One thing?
Who was Mrs. Peacock taking bribes from?
A foreign power. Her husband, the senator, has influence over defense contracts.
Is there going to be a cover-up?
Isn't that in the public interest? What could be gained by exposure?
But is the FBI in the habit of cleaning up after multiple murder?
Yes. Why do you think it's run by a man called Hoover?
Ah! I guess Blue works for Peacock.
Oh, Mrs. Peacock.
How did you know my name?
The Kingdom of Heaven is at hand.
But that's not a real name.
Okay, take her away.
Wentworth is right!
Wentworth, we got her.
You see, like the Mantis, we always get our man.
Mrs. Peacock was a man?
Would anyone care for fruit or...
the boy...
So unnecessary, but it works.
But here's what really happened. And this is ending C.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten anyone.
You're a bit late for that!
Then there were three more murders.
So
let's consider each murder one by one. Professor Plum, you knew that Mr. Body was still alive. Even psychiatrists...
I wonder how they decided what was going to be the official ending. Or if that was decided beforehand.
This one gets everybody involved. Yeah. So I think this one was probably assumed it would be the final.
That's right! He was the missing person in the kitchen after we found the cook dead.
But he was with us in the billiard room when we found Yvette screaming.
Do you think there were people that really went to the theater to see, like, all three of them?
Try to get all three endings? I don't know. If anybody was as into the movie as I am as an adult then I would think so.
Yeah.
Sitting here,
and the thing is, you're having an investment of an hour and 20 minutes before you find out if you've just seen the same thing all over again.
Yeah.
Like, we wrote Star Tours at Disney World, and that has different elements, and you can ride a different ride. Well, we went on it two times, and it was almost the exact same ride back to back. And we were like, oh... Okay, maybe it doesn't change, and I read wrong, and then we went on it again, it was totally different. So, I feel bad for people that were like, yeah, there's another ending, and they just saw the same whole movie.
We all split up again. I went upstairs with you. Yes, you, Mrs. White.
Although being a great movie upon repeat viewings, you know, it wouldn't be like sitting through Citizen Kane three times for a new ending. And I love Citizen Kane, but it's a hard movie to go see, you know, three times in a row in the same week.
Stupping.
Yes.
Lily von Stupp.
And much of this,
this
was
so
improvised.
I hated her so much. It flames. Flames on the side of my face, heaving breath.
But while we were in the room, Scarlet seized the opportunity and under cover of darkness crossed to the library where she hit the cop whom she'd been bribing on the
head. I would not.
I wonder how long it went on for.
Yeah, I wonder the
cuts were showing other people's faces.
Right.
So it must have been Mr. Green who shot the
telegram. The outtakes, the gag reel to this movie would just be phenomenal, I would think.
The gun is missing. Whoever's got the gun shot the girl.
Mm-mm. I shot her.
You?
I didn't shoot the deputy, though.
So it was you. I was going to expose you.
I know. So I choose to expose myself.
Gross.
Please, there are ladies present. You thought Mr. Body was dead, but why?
This is a movie I would never want to see remade, because I think it borders on perfect. But who would you cast, like, today for any of these characters?
That's a good question.
Shuts. He was expendable, like all of you. I'm grateful.
Something we should have asked in the beginning of the movie to think about.
Probably. I'm trying to think of great comedic actors right now.
This all has nothing to do with my disappearing nuclear physicist husband or Colonel Mustard's work with the new top secret fusion bomb.
No. Communism was just a red herring.
Again.
The police will
Now we have to cast them all 20 years younger, based on the board game. So it'd be like Zac Efron Robert Pattinson as Wadsworth.
I don't know. Are they still considered younger?
I don't know.
And you'll just go on blackmailing us all.
Of course. Why not?
Well, I'll tell you why not.
Oh.
Good shot, Green.
And scene.
What a great death scene, Tim Curry.
Are you a cop?
No, I'm a plant.
A plant? I thought men like you were usually called a fruit.
No.
FBI. That phone call from J. Edgar Hoover was for me.
I told you I didn't do it.
I like how the cop still kicks the other door.
All right, who done it? They all did it.
But if you want to know who killed Mr. Body, I did. In the hall. With the revolver. Okay, Chief, take him away. I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
One of my favorite movie endings.
And there we go. They got the cards from the game for the nice closing credits sequence.
And every time I hear this song, I do think of the ending credits to this movie.
Bill Haley in the Comets, mm-hmm. Shake, Rattle, and Roll. We heard it earlier in the movie. I believe Yvette was in the parlor listening mm-hmm. to this when she was cleaning something and bouncing.
It's interesting. They each have a weapon except for Mustard. And it looked like White and Plum both had the rope.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. So, yeah, that was Clue.
So, yeah, I guess you've guessed by now, I think this movie holds up very
well.
Oh,
it definitely holds up. Like I said, when I sat down and watched it last week, I was trying to remember the last time I saw it, and it would have had to been probably high school at the latest, and I couldn't believe how much of it I remembered.
Mm-hmm.
And I evidently watched it more than I remembered as a kid. I know I had it on a blank VHS taped off of some cable channel or movie channel, and I know I watched it, but it was embedded, but it was kind of buried. So as things were happening, it's like, oh, and then this is when this happens. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun to revisit, and this is my second time watching it in a week. And yeah, it definitely still holds up. There's a lot of comedy in there that appeals to a bunch of different styles. You know, like I said, yeah. It's got your slapstick. It's got your
play
witty
on words,
banter.
Double entendre. Yeah. It's got everything in there, really.
And, I mean, it's even got your TNA to appeal to that audience. And
considering it's a small cast that all takes place in mm-hmm. one setting, it's really a rather complex script. A lot happens.
Right.
This isn't, you know, one murder mystery. This is, four or five people, yeah. ultimately six, end up getting killed by the end of the movie. And they wrote it so that you could believe any of the three endings. Mm-hmm. It's
they all
really
work.
Quite an undertaking. So from a screenwriting perspective, this movie, I'd say it has, like, if I were grading a script, I'd give it 100%. This is an excellent screenplay, and then is beautifully executed by a director who knows what he's doing, because he wrote it, mm-hmm. and a cast that just had excellent chemistry, and you could clearly trust all of them with the roles. I mean, this is one of my favorite comedies.
Definitely. All right. Well, as the credits continue to roll, and we're going to finish our Peachful Easy Feeling, we have our closing credits song for you. And it is a song that actually just got re-recorded and redone. And while we were doing this episode, the band actually just sent me the brand new version of the song. When I originally contacted them and said we wanted to play their song, Mrs. Peacock / The Lament of Mr. Green, for obvious reasons, they were like, that's awesome. We're actually planning on re-recording that, and hopefully we will have the new version ready for you to include on the episode. Well, guess what? They have it recorded, and we're going to be able to feature it. It is from the band Syntax Club. They were formed in 2016, and they are, they're inspired by like the Beach Boys and Phil Spector's Wall of Sound, but with like the storytelling of Jim Croce. The name Syntax Club was adopted in early 2017 in writing, arranging words and phrases to create the best sentence possible. Can be challenging. Similarly, Syntax Club aims to arrange their lyrics and song structures in a way that results in the best songs possible. They released an album of demo recordings titled Mississippi, Come and Take Me in the summer of 2017. That is what the previous version of this song was on. But now we have a full on brand new version. I'm very excited to hear it. And we will let you hear it right now. So here we go. This is Syntax Club with Mrs. Peacock, The Lament of Mr. Green, here on Drunk at the Movies. Well, that was a delight. I'm glad they were able to get that to us. I told them, hey, I love the original, so if it doesn't happen, no harm. But to be able to feature the new version is super, super awesome. So thank you to Syntax Club and also Cooper Clare with the song Miss Scarlet. Both appropriate songs for this episode.
Yeah.
Which was
one of my favorite episodes because I can watch this movie 100 times and never get sick of it.
Yeah, and you know, we didn't talk nearly as much as some other episodes, but when you're dealing with that kind of comedy, sometimes it kind of speaks for itself.
So yeah.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed that, and hopefully you'll enjoy our next upcoming episode. We've got a brand new month. December is approaching. This was our final episode for November. December, it's obvious. We're going to do Christmas movies.
Right. Or holiday movies for those holidays, who don't want to call them Christmas. Whatever. Shit.
So what we are doing, we each made one of our picks. As I said before, I've done some pretty well-known Christmas movies in the past. We did National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, mm-hmm. we did Muppet Christmas Carol, and we did A Christmas Story.
Okay.
we got some of the heavy hitters out of the way.
Right.
We've got on Dishing Disney, my other podcast I do with Brianna, we are doing Santa Claus and I'll Be Home for Christmas. So there's another couple. So for this month, our first one, it's from the mid-80s. It's a ridiculous movie that I grew up loving. Santa Claus, the movie, starring David Huddleston and Dudley Moore and John Lithgow.
Yes.
It is insanity. I think it's going to lend itself very well to this podcast. If you haven't seen it before, you have a couple weeks to try to track down a copy of it to watch along with us. But it's something.
Or if you watched Comedy Central a lot in the 90s around Christmas, you would have caught it, which is weird because really? It wasn't particularly funny.
No, not at all. I had no idea they showed that much. Okay. Well, you know what we're going to watch. So try and track that down. Get familiar with it so that way you know what we're talking about. Seth, I had fun watching Clue again.
Me too.
That was a good pick. And a happy Thanksgiving to everybody listening. Like I said, we're going to take a week off, and we're going to be ready and raring to go for the month of December. So, this is Dustin.
And this is Seth.
Saying, you don't have to be drunk to enjoy Clue, but it doesn't hurt. We'll see you in a couple weeks.